Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you. While I was in Wayne County this past week, there was a post on Facebook by a former church member of mine down there, and the post said, "I need to get out of the driver's seat and let God take control of my life." To which my former youth pastor said on Facebook, he said, "Yeah, just go ahead and climb in the back seat." You remember Frank Sinatra's theme song? Yeah, I did it my way. Elvis picked it up and sang it too. And a few years ago, and I'm being facetious now, my all-time favorite came out. You may remember it. The title of the song was "God Is My Co-Pilot." And and y'all, that's really kind of the mindset in America. It really is. We have this independent, self-made, pull yourself up by your own bootstraps type of mentality. I'm in charge. I've got to control things. If things are going to work out, then I need to take care of everything. And I want to tell you, if you're a child of God and you're trying to live that way, you're going to wind up being one of the most frustrated people on the planet. Why? Because God is not your co-pilot. And you're not His co-pilot. My youth minister had it right. Get in the back seat. He's the pilot, the co-pilot. It's His plane. And He's going to take you where He wants you to go. Hello? And so, and by the way, you're just along for the ride, and oh, hallelujah, what a ride it is. Have anybody figured that out? Aren't y'all having the time of your life? Three of you are. Goodness gracious, y'all. The Christian life is the most fantastic, adventurous, glory-filled, joy-unspeakable life that there is. As long as God's not your co-pilot. Just get in the back seat like Brother Carey said. And so, once the Holy Spirit has come to take up residence in your life and in your heart, what can you expect? What can you look for? Well, now that you have Him, what do you do with Him? You know, once you're saved, He baptizes you into the body of Christ and takes up residence in your heart and in your life and in your spirit. You have, look at your neighbor and say, if you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit. And if you don't have the Spirit, you're not saved. All right, there we go. And so I guess the biggest, according to this passage of Scripture, if you are saved, the way you have victory day in and day out is by walking in the Spirit. The word that best describes a person who has been baptized, indwelt, and filled by the Holy Spirit is the word walk. A Spirit-filled believer is one who walks with the Holy Spirit. Now, the words "with," "in," and "by" are used almost interchangeably in the Greek language. And so walking is something that you do all day. You remember the Sunday, I think it was just a couple of Sundays ago, Diane and I went, she was sitting right down here, and we just went for a walk. Remember that? I was holding her hand, and I was talking to her and asking questions, and she was talking to me and answering my questions, and we were just kind of walking it. When you walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. And so, that's kind of similar to walking with or in or by the Spirit of God. And so let me just talk to you for a couple of minutes. y'all do know this is, I think Billy said this morning. It was good. It's not a sprint. What is it, Billy? It's a marathon. It's a walk. The Christian life is a walk. And every day of our lives, we got to be walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. And by the way, the promise, if you'll walk with God every day, guess what? You'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If you're walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Amen. All right, so that's the promise that we have, walking with the Spirit. God has given us all some basic desires. What's one of the strongest desires that we have? Y'all don't have any desires? Are y'all just dead? Yeah, to eat. But we need to eat to live, right? Rather than living. Yeah. What's another desire that we have? What? To control things. Okay? Companionship. We need one another, don't we? My daddy used to say, Dick, two heads are always better than one. And you know what? He was right. We need companionship. We were built for one another. That's a desire that we have. This desire that we have, not so much when you get our age, but a little bit younger, you know, the hormones are running free and wild and all that, you know, and you have this desire to procreate. That's a nice way of putting it, okay? But who gave us those desires? God did. But it's when you get outside those boundaries that you get in trouble. God's the one gave you that desire. Say amen. Amen. So, what do we do with these desires? Because you can use those desires to glorify God, but you can also use those desires in a sinful way. And so walking in the Spirit is the key. Walking in the Spirit. And so in order... Now I know what your next question is. What's your next question? How do you... There you go. How do you walk with the Spirit? How do you walk according to the Spirit? Well, I'm glad you asked. Look at verse 18. Now he describes this. But if you are led by the Spirit, to walk in the Holy Spirit is to be led by the Holy Spirit. We're supposed to take our cue from Him. Does that make sense? When the Lord God sent the Holy Spirit to reside in us, He provided us with a personal guide, a moral compass, someone who can show us the way. Now, notice that Paul did not say we are directed by the Holy Spirit. How did he phrase it? Being led by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not out here like our wonderful police officer tonight directing traffic. But sometimes we see the Holy Spirit in that manner, don't we? He's not like the controller up in an air tower telling pilots where to land their plane. So what does it mean to be led by the Holy Spirit? I remember just a few years ago, we were up in New York City. I'd taken 48 of our folks up to New York City. Now, this was when our staff went, just me and Diana and our music pastor and his wife and our youth pastor and his wife. We went up to, we wanted to go to the Brooklyn Tab. But we stayed in New Jersey because, y'all, it's several hundred dollars cheaper a night to stay in New Jersey and then catch the subway in. But it dawned on me early that morning as we were leaving the hotel that I had no clue where the subway was. And more than that, I didn't know anything about riding the subway. Okay? And so I get to looking around and I'm like, y'all, I don't really know what to do. I don't know where the subway is. And so my youth minister says, well, surely we can find it. Let's just strike out and maybe we'll find it. Well, all of a sudden, this really slick gentleman walks up to us, and he said, "I'm sorry, but y'all must not be from around here." And I looked at him, I said, "You are absolutely right. You're a sharp knife in the drawer, aren't you, brother?" And he said, "Where are y'all from?" And I said, "We're from Tennessee. Can you tell?" And he said, "Well, I can tell y'all exactly where the subway is, and I can tell you how to get your ticket and how to do all this stuff." And so he started rattling all this stuff off, and by the time he finished, we're all sitting there going. And so he got it. And he said, "I tell you what, y'all just follow me. I'm going to take you down to the subway station." And we walked with him. And he led us down. And then you know what he did? He said, "Y'all give me your money." No. He stepped up and bought every one of us a ticket to get on the subway station. And we tried to find out, you know, who he was. And he never did. He just told us his name. And so we got back to the hotel late that evening. And I was asking the clerk or the concierge in the hotel. I said, "Did you see that big, nice, tall gentleman out there in the front that was talking to us this morning?" And he said, "Yes, I did." I said, "Do you know him?" Oh, he said, "I sure do." And I said, "Is so-and-so his name?" He said, "Yeah, that's him." I said, "What does he do?" He said, "Oh, he's only the CFO of the Bank of New York." Chief financial officer. And so, you remember that, hon? That was an amazing thing. Well, he didn't direct us, although he tried to at first. But he led us, and we just fell in line, and we followed him down to the subway station, and then he bought our tickets for us and said, and told us, "You know, what stop are you want? Where y'all want to go?" And we told him, and he told us exactly what gate to get off at. I mean, it was fantastic. And that's the way it is with the Holy Spirit. He's not some traffic policeman. He's not some air traffic controller. He is the Holy Spirit of God, and He wants to lead us. And so we just walk with Him. Am I making sense now? We just walk with Him on a regular basis. He's our leader. He's our guide. He's always with us. He's constantly tuned in to our surroundings, our circumstances, our emotional state. He's sensitive to all of our needs. He gives us perfect peace. Being led by the Holy Spirit also assumes that we are in a relationship deal with Him. You see, I'm sitting over here tonight and listening to Dwight and Jim, and I'm kind of in and out. You know, I'm singing and I'm praying and then I lift up and I'm singing. But I'm sitting over here saying, "Lord, I believe in the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Father, would you fill me with your Spirit tonight? Your word tells me that I'm supposed to be filled by your Spirit. Now, Lord, right now I'm asking you, as best I know, all my sins are confessed and turned from and forsaken. And I just want you right now, sitting right here tonight, would you fill me with your Spirit? I yield to your control. I ask God, I surrender to everything you want said tonight. Here's my mouth. Here's my mind, what little left there is. And here's my spirit, my heart, my emotions. Everything that I am is yours. Holy Spirit, do what you want to do." Well, that's what it means to walk in the Spirit. And you'll walk with Him all day long. And bless God, He doesn't direct you, He guides you. And He leads you. Isn't that wonderful stuff? But I guess probably more than anything, being led by the Holy Spirit involves trust. You've got to trust Him. You know, even to the point of being dependent totally on Him. And Do you hear that still small voice? The prompting of the Holy Spirit? That's what I thought I was listening for this morning at 3:30. But sometimes Cal's voice gets in the way, you know? And so sometimes, Lord, is that you? Am I hearing from the right one? You know, and you just listen, and to the best of your ability, you just trust Him and know that He has your best interest at heart. And you know what, y'all? God is so good, even when we make a mistake, He's big enough. I'm not talking about sin. Even when we miss Him, He's big enough to cover our mistakes. So we don't have to live like, oh, I hope I don't mess this up. You can't mess it up because He can't mess it up. Well, that's a good word for the Sunday night crew. So that's why the Scriptures use the term walking in the Spirit, because when you're walking in the Spirit, you're being led by the Spirit. Now, Thomas, I didn't have verses 19, 20, 21, all the way down through 26, but we're just going to take a quick look at these. Is that okay? If you have your Bible, look at verse 19. Okay? Now the works of the flesh. Now let me ask y'all something here. Works of the flesh, is that singular or plural? Plural. Remember that. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And so he lists some of the lust of the flesh, the desires of the flesh for us. And they're numerous, aren't they? And then he stops to tell us, now I've told you this before, and I'm going to tell you again. But if you practice these things, if this is the pattern of your life, if you're doing these things on a regular basis, you're giving evidence that you're lost. We're not talking about a sporadic falling into these sins. We're talking about it is the pattern, it is the lifestyle that you have. Are we making sense? Well, why would he say that if you practice such things, you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God? Why would he say that? Because if you're practicing these things on a regular basis, you're giving evidence that you don't have the Spirit of God. Because if you've got the Holy Spirit of God, what's going to happen? That's right. And He's going to wear you out. And He's going to keep pointing that out to you in your life. Now that's what the Word of God says. That's not what Cal says. That's what the Word of God says. And so if you're practicing, if you've got a family member or a friend, I have actually shown people these verses. I had some smart aleck tell me one time, I went to see him and went to visit him and tell him how much God loves him in spite of his sin. And he said, well, I believe in once saved, always saved. And you know what I did? I said, I do too. Read these verses. And boy, I mean, he about literally got sick before he finished reading those verses. You see, you're given evidence. Now, if you're a believer and you fall into one of these sins or some of these sins, and immediately you feel filthy, guilty, embarrassed, ashamed, you feel dirty, well, that's evidence that you do have the Spirit of God. And then what do you need to do? You need to confess. And not just confess, you need to repent. And what does repent mean? You turn away from them. You forsake them. You don't want to go there anymore. And the blood of Jesus cleanses from all unrighteousness. And then you allow the Holy Spirit to lead again. And you say, I'm with you. You've got me. You do what I was doing right over here. You're constantly expressing your dependency on Him. Yes. And I want to tell you, Jesus said this, y'all. You shall know the truth. And the truth will what? Set you free. I'm telling you, God will set you free from what it is that's holding you back. But you've got to want it. You've got to want it. I talk with this a lot with folks. And now look at verse 22. Now, but the fruit of the Spirit. Now, is that plural or singular? That's right. Works of the flesh is what? Fruit of the Spirit is. Why is that? Because this is somebody that's walking with the Spirit. Are you ready for this? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. There it is. Self-control. Against such there is no law. Now, the works of the flesh stem from our lusts of the flesh. And so Paul classified these sins for us. I think the first three are sensual sins: adultery, fornication, and then lewdness, uncleanness. And then Paul lists spiritual sins: idolatry, witchcraft or sorcery. Third, Paul talks about social sins: hatred, contentions, jealousies. Oh, look at her. She thinks she's so hot in that new dress. I've heard that in church before. Outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, drunkenness, revelries, which are parties or orgies. These are the works of the flesh. Now, the second part of this is a contrast. And look, this is what someone who looks like that walks in the Spirit. Now, did you catch those? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. All of those things characterize somebody who's walking in the Spirit. Does this mean they're perfect? No. It just simply means that they are being led by the Spirit of Almighty God. In other words, they look and act like who? Jesus! They look and act like Jesus. And there's nine of these characteristics. And the first three kind of have a Godward aspect to them: love, joy, and peace. They come from within. And then the next three have an outward aspect to them: long-suffering, kindness, and goodness. And the last three have an inward aspect: faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And so these are the works of the flesh over and against the fruit of the Spirit. How many, now don't give me any names. Do you know somebody that has those fruits, the fruit of the Spirit? It's not fruits, it's fruit of the Spirit. Who do they remind you of? Jesus. And you see, somebody who's walking with the Spirit, hand in hand, they're going to naturally look like Jesus. Because the Holy Spirit's job is to do what? To glorify whom? Oh, that is so good. Did you catch that? Somebody who's walking in the Spirit or by the Spirit, the reason they act and sound and look like Jesus is because that's the Holy Spirit's job, to glorify Jesus. And so when the fruit of the Spirit begins to come up in our lives, it reminds people of the Lord. That is such fabulous truth. Now, let's look at the goal of the Holy Spirit. Are y'all ready? All right, 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Now, probably most of us think tonight that the goal of the Holy Spirit is to let you in on God's will for your life. But that's not the goal of the Holy Spirit. The goal, according to verse 16, the primary agenda of the Holy Spirit as your leader is not discovering which job you ought to take. It's not which car you ought to buy or even which person you ought to marry, but rather the immediate result of walking in the Spirit is leading you into holiness. Holiness. You remember what Romans 8:29 says? I do believe in predestination. God has predestined that we might be conformed to the image of whom? Oh, let's go to Romans. Romans 8. Billy's going to get there in the next week or two. Right, Billy? Look at Romans 8:29. Romans 8:29. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. That is the goal of the Holy Spirit of God. The fruit of the Spirit, that's growing us and molding us and making us like Jesus to be holy even as he is holy. Y'all have heard me say many times, God's not near as interested in your happiness as he is in your holiness. Because we need to be holy even as he is holy. And so Christ-likeness is what the Holy Spirit is into. Now, I just have to look at 24, 25, and 26. Is that okay? All right, let's look at those. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit. In other words, if you're saved, if you're born again, let us what? Walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. This is where the victory is, brothers and sisters. Those who are saved have been crucified with Christ. Galatians 2:20. Right? I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And so we have been crucified with Christ. Have crucified is an aorist tense verb, which means an action that's been completed in the past. Now, in other words, having crucified, that's an action that was completed in the past and something that you also continue to do. We crucify the flesh when we repent of our sins. And I like that. Repentance is rejecting a lifestyle of sin. That's what the word repentance is talking about, turning your back on your sins. In a real sense, we have nailed our sins to the cross. One of the most moving, here it is over here, one of the most moving Wednesday night services we had a while back. You remember those post-it notes we had? Remember that? And we wrote down the sin in our life, the one or two sins that were really giving us a hard time. And you remember what we did? After we wrote the sins down on the post-it note, what did we do? Were y'all not there? Most of y'all weren't there, right? Well, here's what we did. We put them on that cross. Maybe we need to do that tonight. And we nailed, spiritually speaking, what we were doing. We put those post-it notes on the cross, those sins, and we nailed those sins to the cross. And that's what you do on a daily basis. You crucify those things. You put them to death that give you. Repentance is essential. Jesus said, unless you repent, you will all likewise. Yeah, repentance is key. Not only for salvation, but for the Christian life. And I'll tell you, I don't have a lot of peace in my life when I have to keep confessing the same old sin day after day after day. And what I have learned is that if I'll walk with the Spirit, He'll give me the power and He leads me away from those things that I've tried to crucify in my own power and in my own flesh. And He'll help me with those things. You got to ask for help. You got to tell Him about it. And the folks that continue to live the same old way day after day after day, they have very little peace. As a matter of fact, some of those are Christians, and they're the most frustrated people on the planet. It's terrible. Because God never intended for us to live that way. Jesus said, I've come that they may have life. Not just any kind of life, but what kind of life? Abundant life. Overflowing. Supernatural life. And so if you don't have that kind of life tonight, you need to make the same decision that I made back as a 25-year-old believer, that I was going to walk with God. Now, it's been a long walk, and He's still walking with me, and He's not done with me yet. I mean, my wife can tell you that. I still have my faults and still have my failures, but thank God Jesus is right here with me in the person of His Spirit, and He keeps walking with me, and I'm so thankful for that. And so every day I nail those sins to the cross of Jesus Christ by walking in the Spirit. And if you walk in the Spirit, guess what? You're not going to fulfill the lusts of the flesh. You see how we've come full circle? And that's a blessing. And so, are you following the Spirit of God in your life? Have you gotten in line? Are you repenting and nailing those sins on a daily basis to the cross? If you have, you can give God the praise because it's Him and not us. So for goodness sakes, let's get out of the driver's seat. Let's get out of the pilot's place. Let's move to the passenger section and let's follow after our pilot. The Holy Spirit of God. Would you bow your head with me? Just right where you sit. You may need to pray a prayer something like this. Maybe you're here and you don't completely understand what we've been talking about tonight. But can I tell you, God is not done with you. He wants to do so much more with you than you're experiencing in your life right now. That's why He brought you here tonight. And if you would just express to the Lord how you feel. You're frustrated. You feel defeated. You don't feel like you've got that abundant life that Jesus died and rose again for you to have. Just tell God about it. Just express to Him your need, your dependency. And ask Him to forgive you of your sin and your lack of trust and your lack of dependency. And by faith, ask Him to fill you with His Spirit. And all that means is surrendering to His control, yielding to His leadership, submitting to Him. You pray that prayer in your own words. Do that right now in the quietness of this moment. Father, we want to say thank you tonight. We ask you before we even got started if you would move in this place. And Lord, I do believe that you are here with us. I do believe, Lord, that you've spoken to us, even though I just about made a mess of this thing tonight. So much information, so much stuff that we want to get across. But God, you're bigger than all my insecurities and all my mistakes and all my lack. You are greater than all that. And I believe, Lord, there's been people here tonight that have just asked you to do what they've been longing for you to do for years. And Lord, all that matters is that we just say yes. No matter how old we are, how young we are, no matter where we are in life, that you can take us right where we are, just the way we are, and move us down the road and make us more like your Son. Thank you. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.